the headlines this hour. Iran's leader says the nation has turned sanctions into opportunities for big progress, a clear example of which has already happened in the arms industry. Iran's President Raisi inaugurates a major multi-purpose engineering project during his official visit to Sri Lanka. Also in the headlines, Israel's indiscriminate airstrikes and artillery fire kill more civilians in Gaza as the total death toll tops 34,200. This is News. Thanks for joining us. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the nation has turned sanctions into opportunities for big progress, a clear example of which is the arms industry. Ayatollah Khamenei said, however, that the Iranian nation, thanks to their zeal and long Islamic traditions, did not submit to such coercion. He underlined that Iranians were able to make the enemy's sanctioned ploys futile, and that pressures helped them make progress. The leader reiterated that the sanctions will not destroy the nation's resolve because Iranians are not looking for help from outside the borders. Ayatollah Khamenei added that the people worldwide are now supporting Palestinians because they have realized that resistance is not terrorism, but rather a means to defend land and homes from the occupying regime. Ayatollah Khamenei was addressing workers who had gathered from all over the country in Tehran on the occasion of Labor Week. Glenn Deason, a Norwegian professor in political science, says he believes long-term sanctions help the targeted countries thrive in different fields, and Iran is one such example.
If you have the sanctions which are too strong and are perpetual, that is, they're continued over a long period of time, what actually happens is that the sanctioned countries learn to live without the belligerent. And so what you see in Iran can also be compared to Russia, but also China. That is, these countries, they largely begin to decouple themselves from the U.S.-led international economic system. And given that the U.S. international economic system is, to a large extent, very rent-seeking, we see that they can often thrive. So there's a lot of reason behind this argument, as they learn then to live without American technologies, without their industries, without their transportation corridors, without their banks, without their currencies. And with the absence of rent-seeking, we actually see that countries can eventually thrive if they're able to reduce their reliance on those who use economic dependence as a weapon.
Sri Lankan President Ranil Wickremesinghe has officially welcomed Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi in the capital, Colombo. The Iranian President is visiting the South Asian nation as part of a one-day official visit, which marks a significant diplomatic boost between Tehran and Colombo. Two sides have signed several memorandums of understanding aimed at bolstering bilateral relations. President Raisi has also inaugurated the Uma Oya Multipurpose Development Project. The project includes two dams and a 120-megawatt power plant built by Iranian contractors. During the inauguration ceremony, President Raisi said the Islamic Republic is implementing large hydroelectric projects in more than 20 countries, thanks to its technical and engineering capabilities. Of course, one of Fatemeh Masoumi, who had spoken to some of the Iranian engineers involved in the mega hydropower complex in Sri Lanka, joined us earlier with more details.
First of all, it is one of the lasting achievements of Iranian engineers in Sri Lanka. Yeah, today this multi-purpose project was inaugurated by, as you said, Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi. Iran has added yet another achievement to its list of successes. What is very unique about this project is that the process of designing, construction, and installation of the equipment was very, very unique. The objectives of this multi-purpose project were the irrigation of farmlands, supply of drinking water and industrial water to the area. Well, according to the studies that was done in that area, Sri Lanka was in need of this dam and the water to be distributed to the area, actually. So this project was very important for them and also for our Iranian engineers, because About 90% of the people who were working there were Iranians, and this is very important for us Iranians, and of course from an international aspect. Also, I'd like to talk to you about the detailed information of this project. I spoke to Mr. Mohammad Haydari, the CEO of Farab. He was Farab is one of the contractors of this huge project. Of course, before that, I should say that competition between the European companies and Iran for designing this project. It's very important for us that our engineers, especially engineers coming from Sharif University, were able to win this tender. He told me, Mr. Haydari, that it's one of this engineering project is one of a kind in the world, and it's unique and precise because the science and knowledge of the Iranian engineers helped overcome the important obstacles, I would say, of this project. Also, I spoke to the head of the international section of the Ministry of Energy, Mr. Mojtaba Akbari, and he told me that the people in Sri Lanka, the country, had requested Iran to help them in the mining industry, in the food industry, and engineering and technical products in power plants. So they want their country to move a step forward, and they are using the Iranian engineers to overcome these challenges and reach their goals.
It's day 201 of the Israeli genocide in Gaza. The regime continues its massacre of civilians by pounding the blockaded territory with more airstrikes and artillery fire. In the latest attacks, three members of a family were killed and four wounded after an Israeli strike hit their home in the southern city of Rafah. Elsewhere, the Nuseirat refugee camp in central Gaza, which has been targeted relentlessly over the past few weeks, five people from one family were killed inside a home. Meanwhile, several Palestinians were also injured in the shelling of the towns of Beit Lahia, Beit Hanun, and Jabalia. Meanwhile, Palestinian civil defense forces have pulled out 51 more bodies from a mass grave recently discovered in the vicinity of Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. Since the onset of Israeli war in early October, over 34,260 Gazans have been killed, most of them women and children. Of course, Mona Mutaba Masaba joined us earlier from the central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah to update us on the latest Israeli killing of civilians in the besieged coastal strip.
Yes, actually, the last night was horrific for all Palestinian civilians here in Gaza Strip, whereas the Israeli occupation forces intensified and ramped up the attacks against all areas of Gaza Strip. Here in the central area of Gaza Strip, the last attack actually claimed the lives of four Palestinian civilians after the Israeli warplanes carried out an airstrike against a group of the Palestinian civilians in Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. In the meantime, those attacks were intensified and continued against the northern part of Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. Ceaseless Israeli airstrikes hit those areas amid the continuous and the chronic artillery shelling that was maintained against Al-Mughraga neighborhood and Al-Zahra town, in addition to the northern part of Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. Here in Deir al-Balah city, the Israeli warplanes actually carried out another airstrike against a civilian car in the center of Deir al-Balah city. At least a Palestinian civilian was reportedly killed over the attack, in addition to multiple injuries. In the meantime, the Israeli artillery shelling was maintained against the eastern part of Deir al-Balah city. When it comes to Gaza city, the Israeli warplanes also scaled up their attacks against different neighborhoods inside Gaza city, including At-Tufah, Al-Shaja'iya, and Zaytun neighborhood. Those areas were under heavy bombardment. The northern part of the Gaza Strip, the current situation is still hyper hazardous as the Israeli occupation forces renewed their intense attacks against those areas, particularly Beit Lahia city. As you know, the Israeli occupation forces demanded the people who are still there to evacuate the entire city.
Israeli forces have shot and killed a Palestinian girl in the occupied West Bank over an alleged stabbing attack against the regime forces. The 20-year-old, identified as Maimona Abdelhamid Harash Sheh, was shot in the head near the city of Al-Khalil. Occupation forces also prevented the ambulance crew from reaching the victim. The Israeli army claimed that the young woman was trying to carry out a stabbing attack against troops at a military post near the village of Beit Hanun. Tensions have been running high across the West Bank since Israel launched its genocidal war in Gaza last October. Nearly 480 Palestinians have been killed in the regime's attacks over the past 6 months in the occupied territories. The U.S. Senate has approved a $95 billion aid package that includes more than $26 billion in military assistance for Israel. That comes despite growing anger across the country at Washington's support for the regime and its genocidal war in Gaza. We discussed the issue in our News Review program. Let's take a listen to what our guests had to say.
The United States Senate has passed a $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan after its earlier approval by the House of Representatives. The bill now goes to the White House to be signed into law by President Joe Biden. It allocates more than $26 billion in military assistance to Israel, defying the international outcry against the U.S. Military support for the regime. Amid the Gaza genocide, it does not include any funds for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees, which is the main source of assistance for Palestinians in Gaza. Rights groups and activists have time and again slammed Washington for its direct role in the Gaza genocide by arming the Israeli regime and vetoing ceasefire resolutions at the UN Security Council. Well, joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have Mr. Harley Schlanger from the Schiller Institute, Germany, who's with us from Potsdam. Also, we have Director of the Center for Muslim Affairs, Mr. Jahangir Mohammed, who's joining us from Manchester. Let's start off with Mr. Schlanger in Potsdam. Sir, give us your perspective on this recent aid package.
Well, it shows that when President Biden says he's talking to Netanyahu about not invading Rafah, about humanitarian support for the Palestinians, that he's lying. He's not telling the truth. This is, as you pointed out, in defiance of the rest of the world, which is insisting on a ceasefire, insisting on an end to Israeli occupation, a two-state solution. And it also is in defiance of a report of the United Nations, the Colonna report. The former French foreign minister issued a report on the UN relief organization, which the Israelis claim was involved in the attacks on October 7th. What she reported is that there's absolutely no evidence of this, that the Israelis presented no evidence. So here you have a narrative of defense of Israel and its democratic rights, when in fact the U.S. is going to continue to provide arms, deadly lethal weapons, 2,000-pound bombs and the like, to the Israeli defense forces to carry out an ethnic cleansing of Palestine.
Mr. Jahangir Mohammed, this aid package, it allocates more than $26 billion in military assistance to Israel, and we're seeing it defying the international outcry against the U.S. military support for the regime amid the Gaza genocide. To give us your perspective on what's taking place and the ramifications of this aid package.
Well, obviously it's a reward for the State of Israel for carrying out genocide against the Palestinian people, and it will encourage them, and it will continue because it's designed to provide military and economic support. So it's shoring up the Israeli state on behalf of the US, which simply shows that this is not simply an Israeli project. This is a US project designed to dispossess the Palestinian people, cleanse them, so Israel and the United States can occupy Gaza for whatever economic or political reasons that they have. And the fact that they have withdrawn UNRWA funding, are not providing humanitarian support, basically shows that they're just speaking with forked tongues, basically. On the one hand, pacifying or trying to pacify their local people or hoodwink them, which doesn't seem to be working. On the other hand, funding the genocide and the war and the Israeli military.
Right. Mr. Schlanger, how is this going to sit with the American taxpayer, who's already upset with all the money that's been allocated?
Well, there are two aspects to this. On the one hand, this is more money at a point in which there's austerity against the homeland. The United States is seeing its cities disintegrate, its education system falling apart, infrastructure collapsing, and yet this is another $100 billion, and that's only what they're acknowledging. With the additional funding, there's probably much more than that going to these wars. But is this helping the security of the United States? No, not at all. And Americans are angry about that. But then more importantly is the growing recognition that what the United States is doing is it's now complicit in the genocide being committed by the Israeli state. And this is especially among young people.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen. Harley Schlanger from the Schiller Institute of Germany joining us from Potsdam, and also thanks to Director of Center for Muslim Affairs, Mr. Jahangir Muhammad, speaking to us from Manchester. With that, it brings us to an end here on this edition of the News Review.
Hundreds of Israeli settlers, backed by the regime forces, have once again broken into the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound and occupied outlets on the second day of the Jewish Passover holiday. That is while non-Muslims, under decades-long agreements, are not allowed to perform their religious rituals at Islam's third holiest site. Our Ramallah correspondent Mona Kandil earlier joined us with more on that story.
It's the second day of the Jewish holiday, known as Passover, that started yesterday and will last for 1 week, a whole 1 week. The Israeli settlers, over 500 settlers, had raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex, Al-Haram al-Sharif, and at the same time, the Israeli forces prevented Palestinians from entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque and its complex during the same period when the settlers were allowed to storm into the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex. At the same time, Israeli forces were deploying around the Al-Aqsa Mosque in the roads of the old town leading to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and more Israeli police officers and soldiers were stationing at the gates leading to the Al-Aqsa Mosque as well, preventing Palestinians, specifically Palestinian youths, from entering the old town of Al-Quds and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And those who were allowed to enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque for prayers, the Israeli forces held their ID cards and gave them cards with numbers on them in order to make sure that they have their names, they have their information. We expect more raids by the Israeli settlers in the coming hours. And we have also to mention that at the same time when the settlers are storming the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex, Israeli police are escorting those Israeli settlers to inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque to ensure, of course, the safety and the security, of course, of those Israeli settlers, while doing their utmost to prevent the Palestinians, the Muslims, from praying inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Anger keeps boiling across the U.S. over the Israeli genocide of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Protesters gathered near the residence of Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to call for the end of Washington's funding for Israel, as Congress has approved the new military aid package for the regime. Protesters stayed there for several hours despite a crackdown by police. Multiple arrests were also made, with some reports putting the number of the detainees to over 100. The demonstration was organized by Jewish Voice for Peace and was attended by several rabbis. Similar protests were also held across the country, with students being at the front. The protests against the Gaza genocide began last week at Columbia University that has now spread on many campuses. There were demonstrations at New York University, Massachusetts, Harvard, MIT, and other universities in Michigan, Minnesota, and Columbia. They denounced companies profiting from the war in Gaza and demanded amnesty for students and faculty members who have been suspended for protesting. And that does with this additional world news. Thanks so much for being with us. Bye-bye for now. We'll be right back.
follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
The Limelight. A new opinion poll says the majority of the American people support blocking arms shipments to Israel until the current campaign of death and destruction by the Israeli occupying regime ends. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The American newspaper The New York Times has reported on the story and tells us more. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a whopping $95 billion so-called aid package aimed at the Israeli regime, Ukraine, and the Chinese Taipei, amid warnings about further contribution by Washington to global crises. The bills passed in a rare Saturday, 20th of April session were approved in quick succession by overwhelming bipartisan votes. They provide $26 billion for the Israeli regime, which has been engaged in a genocidal war in the Gaza Strip since October of last year. The war launched following the Al-Aqsa Storm operation, a retaliatory operation by Gaza's resistance movements, has so far massacred tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians, many of them women and children. The draft legislation also sent $60.8 billion to Ukraine, including $23 billion to replenish U.S. weaponry, stocks and facilities amid Kiev's ongoing engagement in a deadly years-long war with neighboring Russia. Russia says the latest aid package by the United States for Ukraine will fail to change the military situation on the ground. At a press conference on Thursday, 18th of April, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov stressed that the $61 billion package of U.S. funding for Ukraine would not change the dynamics on the battlefield. Dmitry Peskov said, "It won't in any way influence the development of the situation on the front lines. All experts now assert that the situation on the front is very unfavorable for the Ukrainian side. Therefore, it will not be able to change anything." Lastly, the bills allocate $8.12 billion for the Indo-Pacific region, including the Chinese Taipei, despite China's ongoing warnings against US's meddlesome policies towards the territory over which Beijing enjoys sovereignty. The US Senate could take the bills up as early as next Tuesday, 23rd of April. Senate approval would then send the measures to President Joe Biden for his signature. The passage of the bills has been closely followed by U.S. military contractors, which are in line with for huge contracts to supply hardware to Ukraine and to America's other allies. President Biden welcomed the votes, claiming they would deliver critical support to Israel and to Ukraine and bolster security and stability in the Indo-Pacific region. Also on Saturday, 20th of April, however, Russia's foreign ministry spokeswoman, Maria Zakharova, said the allocation of U.S. military aid to Ukraine, Israel and the Chinese Taipei will exacerbate the global crises. Zakharova said support for Israel represents a direct path to an unprecedented worsening of the situation in the Middle East region. Maria Zakharova called aid for Kiev direct support for terrorist activities and said aid to Taipei represents interference in China's internal affairs. The Common Dreams website has also covered the same story. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has reportedly been failing to act on a proposal from a special panel at his department to suspend assistance to Israeli military over human rights violations against Palestinians. Citing several current and former American officials, the New York-based ProPublica news site reported on Wednesday, 17th of April, that a special committee of the State Department known as the Israel-Lehi Vetting Forum had recommended in December that Antony Blinken disqualify Israeli military and Israeli police units from receiving American aid. However, it added, they've been sitting in Blinken's briefcase ever since then. The panel, made up of West Asia and human rights experts, reviewed incidents including extrajudicial killings of Palestinians by the Israeli police, as well as gagging and handcuffing of an elderly Palestinian-American man who later died, and the torturing and raping of a teenager. Most of the cases of human rights violations took place in the occupied West Bank of the River Jordan before Israel's war on the Gaza Strip more than 6 months ago. Israel is waging a genocidal war on Gaza since 7th of October last year after a Palestinian Hamas resistance group carried out a historic operation against the usurping entity in retaliation for Israel's intensified atrocities against the Palestinian people. The Israeli regime has massacred tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians since 7th of October last year, many of them women and children. The website of Truth Out has also reported on the same story. A new opinion poll says the majority of the American people support blocking arms shipments to Israel until the current campaign of death and destruction by the occupying Israeli regime ends. The opinion poll conducted by Center for Economic and Policy Research think tank suggested that more than 50% of the American public want the administration of President Joe Biden to stop sending arms and weaponry to the Israeli regime and to Ukraine. Citing a new YouGov opinion poll it commissioned, the economic policy think tank said in a statement, 52% of the American public agree with the U.S. government should halt weapons shipments to the Israeli regime until Israel stops its attacks on Gaza. According to the results released recently, 62% of the respondents who voted for Joe Biden in 2020 wanted Washington to halt weapons support to the Israeli regime until the brutal war in Gaza comes to an end. The statement of the opinion poll by the Washington-based think tank was, the U.S. should stop weapons shipments to Israel until Israel discontinues its attacks on the people of Gaza, to which only 14% of Biden voters disagreed. The Center for Economic Policy Research added, by contrast, only 30% of Donald Trump voters support halting U.S. weapons shipments to Israel, while a majority, 55%, oppose it, and another 15% say they are unsure. The Israeli regime ignited its bloody war machine after it was caught off guard by Operation Al-Aqsa Storm conducted by the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas on 7th of October last year. Over the past 6 months, some 85% of the population of Gaza has been internally displaced due to an acute shortage of food, clean water and medicine in Gaza. According to media reports, Washington has provided 21,000 precision-guided munitions to the Israeli regime since last October. Other types of munitions and weapons include tens of thousands of 155mm artillery shells, thousands of bunker-busting munitions, and 200 kamikaze drones. Despite causing a massive death toll and suffering fatalities, the Israeli military has failed to achieve its set of goals, such as destroying the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ahli Baytihi at-Tayyibin at-Tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the sermon number 201 in Nahjul Balagha, which is a very short but beautiful sermon. We will pick up a few phrases from it and discuss about certain points that are going to enrich our topic and give us an insight into how we can be as managers and how we can take inspiration from Islam for good management. In the previous session, we discussed about the fact that managers and people in authority, especially in the government, they need to be careful not to be worldly in nature and not to be extravagant and not to, for instance, be corrupt and plundering of resources, and should not plunder the resources, especially the government resources, because this will cause people to turn away from the system. And especially if you are managing a body and you are misusing and misappropriating the funds of that body, you will be a source of people getting disenchanted from that system, and in fact they will completely get disconnected. So we need to be aware of that as managers. This is taken from an inspiration from Imam Ali alayhi salam.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, we are going to discuss another important matter today, and that is taking a lesson from sermon number 201 of Nahjul Balagha. However much we discuss about Nahjul Balagha, about the beauty, about the splendor, about the eloquence and the sheer majesty of the book and the power that is encapsulated by each and every word, we'll not be doing justice, and therefore I would leave that to people of more knowledge. But I would like to discuss this phrase which Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions. He says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ لَا تَسْتَوْحِشُ فِي طَرِيقِ الْهُدَى لِقِلَّةِ أَهْلِهِ. He says, O people, do not be afraid, do not be scared in the path of guidance when you have few people in that path. That means if you are few, but you are in the direction of guidance, then do not be afraid. This is a powerful statement, really. And it shows and gives hope to the people of truth and gives them strength. Now, I would like to build up our discussion here and say that, see, you, a manager needs to be able to give hope to his people, to the people that are working with him always. And he should, for example, remind people that at times, because of their steadfastness on the truth, they will probably become alone. They will not have people supporting them. But mind you, this is in itself not a positive thing when you cut it off from the other factors. That means being alone in everything and, let's say, being separate from everyone is not the best thing at all times. Because sometimes it may happen that the people around you are speaking the truth and they are doing the right thing. But you wish to, to be separate from them for some personal reasons. This is wrong. Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying that if you become alone, because of what? Because of being in the right path, then do not fear. So this is the point that we need to keep in mind here, very importantly.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Nahjul Balagha, translated as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters and sayings that reflected Imam Ali's profound insights on governance, ethics, spirituality, and social justice. Sayyid Razi's meticulous work in preserving and presenting Imam Ali's words has made Nahjul Balagha a timeless source of inspiration for scholars, theologians, and seekers of wisdom.
Now, we're discussing this phrase where Imam Ali alayhi salam tells the people, Ayyuhan nas, O people, do not be afraid in the path of guidance because of the few people that exist in that path. If you're doing the right thing and you have really sincerely found out that your path is true, through the right means of approaching knowledge and understanding the realities of the universe and of the realities of the truth and falsehood that exist in this world, then do not be afraid, do not get worried. This is a very clear statement from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Says, لا تستوحشوا. Do not feel alone. Do not feel a state whereby you feel you are lonely and there is no one for you. Do not feel like that. And then he tells the reason behind it. He says, why do people become alone sometimes when they're in the right path? He says, because فَإِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ مَائِدَةٍ. Because the rest of the people that are involved, that you live with, or let's say that are in that society, or no, they are in another society and you are a society that follows the truth, or no, it's another country and you are a country that follows the truth, and you become alone in the whole world, let's say, as a country, as a society. Why do you become alone when you are in the right path? It's because the other group of people have set around a table. فَإِنَّ النَّاسُ قَدْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ مَائِدَةٍ. They've sat around the table distributing some food amongst themselves and enjoying a banquet. Now, what is this banquet? Is it really a good banquet? In a simple terms, it is the banquet of the world. Now, I'll explain to you what the world is and what it means here in this particular phrase of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the courage and the ability to learn the teachings of Ahlul Bayt and apply them in our lives. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
With Earth Day, which was on April 22nd, it is important to recall how Zionists developed myths relating to the Palestinian land. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the first part, please. Palestine Chronicle wrote, since October 7th, Zionists have wielded atrocity propaganda to justify genocide. Mary Terfa writes, adding, while Palestinians have shared testimony of the atrocities they have witnessed, the difference is not just in the truth of these stories, but also their function. Defined as information about the crimes committed by an enemy, especially deliberate fabrications or exaggerations, this form of misinformation has been the topic of rebuttal since the start of the war on Gaza, actually the genocide against the Gaza people. However, Zionist Hasbro or Zionist propaganda has a long history, beginning with the Nakba or catastrophe in 1948. With the Earth Day happen on April 22nd, it is important to recall how Zionists developed myths relating to the Palestinian land. As Alan George observes, prior to 1948, the Zionists sought to justify unrestricted Jewish immigration to Palestine by claiming that it was a land without a people for a people without a land. In the Americas too, European invaders perpetrated the myth of technical superiority to exterminate the original inhabitants of the land. Reappropriating notions of manifest destiny, Zionists laid their claim to what they wrongly said was barren wasteland whose original inhabitants lacked the ability to make the desert bloom. Dina Elmuti notes, "Every Zionist accusation is a confession, a worldview that relies on lies, propaganda, and manipulation, thereby ensuring that everything that is bad is projected outward unto others." Thus, when Zina Rakhmolyova says that anti-Israel activists use Israel's Independence Day to hijack the narrative and attempt to rewrite history, she's projecting what Zionists themselves have done. It is a common myth that Palestine was once vacant land. In fact, it was once the home of a thriving agricultural economy in which Palestinians produced grains, melons, and olives, to name a few. Once Zionists razed the land for highways and homes belonging to the Zionist settlers, it was declared a military zone for Palestinians, thus reducing a once flourishing people to poverty. Co-founder and CEO of Social Light Creative reiterates the myth that when Jewish immigrants returned to their land, they encountered there a barren land that was sparsely populated with few natural resources and limited water supply. Indeed, she might have copied these words straight out of Henry Nash Smith's Virgin Land, The American West as a Myth and Symbol, 1950, a seminal American studies text that ironically falls into the trap of mythologizing the West as vacant land while at the same time pointing out the mythologies of the region that form a part of the American psyche. As the Zionist regime continues to uproot olive trees, a symbol of the rootedness of Palestinians, they are replaced by non-native pine trees, which became the quintessential symbol of Zionism. The Zionist regime's force is not only employed by violence and displacement, it is also applied through environmental damage to the land. By replacing the long-rooted olive trees with non-native, fast-growing pine trees forest, Zionists hope to sever the Palestinians' relationship to the land. Not only does this destroy the people's livelihoods and kinship with the earth, it also creates ecological devastation. Taya Amit writes, These foreign trees often cannot adapt to local soils as they demand a lot of water, causing droughts. They also acidify the land, making the ground inedible for Palestinian shepherds to graze their flocks on, and the trees are vulnerable to wildfires, creating a situation that needs to be highlighted on Earth Day. These fires, like those in other parts of the global south, are the product of colonizers who seek to impose their own imprint on the land.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 31 meters, 9650 kHz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz. a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful tradition and hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam regarding the friends of Allah, the characteristics of the friends of God. The friends of God are the awliya Allah. This is one of those Islamic terms. It's been mentioned in the Holy Quran and in the hadith in a lot of places, right? This is a very special group of people, right? And you know, they've been praised in the Holy Quran and hadith. But who are they? What are their characteristics? How do we know if we're one of them? Could be that we are one of them. How do we know this for sure? Here in this hadith, Imam Ali mentions some of their characteristics. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "The friends of Allah are those who look at the inward aspect of the world, while the other people look at its outer aspect." This is one of the characteristics of the friends of God. They look at the world from the inside. They don't simply look at the apparent nature of the world, what's going on. They pierce into its inner core, and they distinguish what it really is. The second characteristic that the Imam mentions is this: they busy themselves with its remoter benefits, while the other people busy themselves in its immediate benefits. This probably refers to the fact that they benefit from its hidden aspect than the immediate benefits that the people take from this world. I mean, for example, it could be simply a reference to the fact that these people use this world for the benefits that they will take from it in the hereafter. They use it as a bridge to the hereafter, those benefits will come later on. Whereas people normally take the immediate benefits of the world, they seek benefits that they can take from it immediately, not in the benefits, that the spiritual benefits that they will have in the hereafter. They kill those things which they fear would have killed them, and they abandon here in this world what they believe would abandon them. For example, if they think that there's something in this world that would be of no use to them, will be beneficial for them temporarily, but in the end will harm them, so they leave that thing. They take the amassing of wealth by others as a small matter. If they see a person who's really rich, has a lot of money, he's a billionaire, he's made the Forbes list for the richest people of the world, they don't take it as to be very important. In fact, they regard it, the Imam says, as a loss. They say, what a great loss this person has. They are enemies of those things which others love, while they love things which others hate. Meaning, they are enemies of those things which others love. People love wealth, people love to be popular, people love, these kind of things, but these people don't like them. The friends of God don't like these things. Through them, the Quran has been learned. They learned the Quran, they memorized the Quran, they learned the Quran, they learn its teachings and they practice it, and they have been given knowledge through the Quran. The knowledge that they have is from the Quran. They might not have any degree from any university, they might not have a PhD, they might not have a master's or anything, but they have knowledge of the Quran, and this is very valuable for them. With them, the Quran is staying while they stand by the Quran. Meaning, the Quran remains in this world by means of them. They practice the Quran, they teach the Quran, and they stand by the teachings of the Quran. They do not see any object of hope above what they hope in, and no object of fear above what they fear. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the characteristics of the friends of God in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma